Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
We are continuing our series this morning on We Believe, and we're talking about the things that we believe individually based on the Word of God, and we're also talking about what the power that there is in us understanding what we believe together. And when we meet together and we know what we believe, and that belief turns into action, how powerful that can be in the life, in our life, and in the life of our church. This morning, we're talking about the mission of the church, and we're talking about how God has given us something to do, the mission of the church. Now, there's some wrong ideas about the mission of the church that I wanted to start off with, and sometimes we think about this idea of the mission of the church, and we have the wrong idea that the mission of the church is the responsibility of missionaries. I mean, it makes sense. It's the mission of the church, and we have people called missionaries, and also pastors are responsible for the mission of the church. Well, that's not entirely right, because we're all responsible for the mission of the church. Another idea about mission, the mission of the church, is that giving to missions replaces going. So giving money replaces going and being involved, and that's not the case either. It's certainly important that we honor God with our finances and that we support missions, but giving doesn't replace going or even sending. Also, another wrong idea about the mission of the church is the mission of the church only takes place overseas, that it's something that's international. And when we talk about the mission of the church, it's how we send people and we go overseas, and that's where the mission happens. And that's a wrong idea too, because the mission of the church starts here and it goes there. And so the mission of the church is important right here. And another wrong idea about being on mission for God or the mission of the church is that being on mission for God is for super Christians or Jesus freaks, people that are really kind of strange. And that's not the case at all. The mission of God and what God wants to do through the life of his church is for each believer. And that's the power of us meeting together and for us understanding what we believe about the mission of the church and how that affects us. But then together, we together confess what the mission of the church means, and then we endeavor to partner with one another and reach that mission. And so before I go on, I wanted to find some terms just so that we are talking about the same thing. The Missio Dei is translated the mission of God. And God has a plan in this world, a redemptive plan in this world, that he would receive glory and that he has provided a way that we can know him. So God has a mission. And then the mission that we're talking about this morning is kind of a noun. And it is used, this word mission is not only used in the church, it's also used in the workplace, in the secular workplace, that companies have mission statements, and this is what they are all about. Like Chick-fil-A's mission statement is to sell good chicken sandwiches and make a difference along the way, right? And so there's a mission there is, and a military person understands what endeavoring to go on a mission. They have a parameters of this is what they're going to accomplish on this military campaign. That's their mission. And so mission in that regard, and what we're talking about this morning, is what God would have us accomplish within his Missio Dei, in his mission plan. And it includes all that God is doing here and around the world. Now, another term that has come up here recently is this term missional. And that's an adjective to describe someone that has the idea of being intentional about sharing the gospel and being intentional about doing stuff outside of the walls of the church, this idea of being missional. And then also the term that we're probably most familiar with is this idea of missions. And that's what we talk about within the church. And we have this idea that the word missions represents what we do in other countries or And it's kind of the church in activity. But what we're talking about this morning is the mission of the church as it relates to evangelism. And there on your message notes, on the inside, you have the Apostles' Creed like we've been doing these last weeks. And we also have the portion of the Baptist Faith and Message that deals with evangelism and missions. And so to get a real clear understanding of what we're talking about this morning, I'd like to read from the Baptist Faith and Message before we move on to the scripture that we're looking at this morning. And so looking on the other side of your message notes, the Baptist Faith and Message, and this is such a great statement about the opportunity that we have, and it starts off this way. It is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ and of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. The new birth of man's spirit by God's Holy Spirit means the birth of love for others. Missionary effort on the part of all rests thus upon a spiritual necessity of the regenerate life and is expressly and repeatedly commanded in the teachings of Christ. This is saying we have a commandment to be his witnesses, his missionaries, wherever we are. The Lord Jesus Christ has commanded the preaching of the gospel to all nations. It is the duty of every child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness, undergirded by a Christian lifestyle and by other methods in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is a strong statement about the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to preach the gospel to all nations and for each child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ. And notice that it says by verbal witness, undergirded with a Christian lifestyle. There's this idea about the gospel and sharing the gospel that, you know, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words, right? Listen, I want to tell you, it's necessary to use words. Because if we wait for someone to approach us and say, hey, I notice you're a little different than everybody else. Would you mind telling me what's different about you so I can have that same thing in my life? Listen, if we wait to that moment, we will have waited too long. It's necessary for us to be looking for an opportunity to share and ready to share our testimony and what God's doing in our life and the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about the mission of God and how we take our part of the mission of God by being on mission for him, the mission of the church, and that's to make disciples of all nations. And we have a part of that. And so we're going to talk about this morning the part that we have in that. And the first thing I want you to understand is that we need to reclaim the mission of the church. Listen, it's not for someone else. It's for you. And it's for me. We need to understand what our mission is to be his ambassadors on this planet, speaking a good word for Christ so that they can know him like we know him. And so they can join us in fulfilling the mission that he has given us. And we need to understand what our part in fulfilling the mission of the church is. And we also need a steadfast commitment that we would join God in that endeavor, that we wouldn't be passive and we wouldn't wait, but we would look for places to press forward and to share the gospel and to speak a good word for Christ personally and corporately. Listen, that's what our Who's Your One is all about. Our emphasis of you thinking about who that person in your realm of influence is that's far from God and how you can minister to them. Listen, if you wait on me to have an opportunity to talk to your friend who I've never met so that I can share my faith with them, you've waited too long. God has placed you there with your one so that you could speak a good word for Christ and so you could share your testimony and what God's doing in your life with them. You don't wait on the missionary or the pastor. You can do that yourself. You've personally got that responsibility. And also corporately, we need to reclaim that mission to where we understand that part of what we do is to share the good news about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we as a church have that mandate, we have that part of our mission that says, if we are to be faithful to the mission that God's given us, it's when we are going to take the gospel to our neighbors as well as around the world. Kind of felt like somebody was sneaking up on me right there, so I didn't want to drop down into Jack Bauer mode or anything right here in front of y'all. So we need to reclaim the mission of the church. The next thing I want you to notice there on your message notes is that we have a deliberate plan to go. And our deliberate plan to go as a church is our Acts 1:8 mission strategy, where we use that verse from Acts 1:8 that Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we take that phrase to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth to say, starting where we are, we're going to start where we are, and we're going to share the gospel right here in Monticello. And then we're going to expand to our region, our nation, that Judea, Samaria part of that statement, and we're going to be faithful to share the gospel in any way that we can in our region. And I look at that kind of the southeast of our country, kind of a bus ride away. And then not only that, we're going to be faithful to go as far as we can with the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so that's our deliberate plan to go. And listen, these are our marching orders to start where we are. We start locally to make a difference in our nation, nationally, and to go as far as we can internationally. And you know, Jesus is the supreme example of what it meant to fulfill the purposes of God in his life and the mission of God. And so we're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning in Matthew chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read a passage of scripture, and we're going to camp out there as we look at Jesus being our example. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 35. So once you found your place, I would ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. The Gospels describe Jesus' life to us, and this is a snapshot of one scene as he's spending time with his disciples when he says in Matthew 9:35, when the scripture says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And then listen to verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you that you have included us in your mission. Father, help each one of us to be faithful to our part. Help our church to be faithful to its part as we fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. Father, as we fulfill Acts 1:8 in the life of our church, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Number three on your message notes there, I want you to notice eyes for the mission, that Jesus is our example. And it says, as he's traveling, as he's teaching, as he's healing, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. So listen, he had his eyes open to the spiritual needs that were around him, and he saw the people. He saw the crowds that were out in front of him. And so in the area that Jesus was in, it was possible there was rolling hills, and there were possibilities that you could see a great distance, and you could see maybe the town at a distance. And so Jesus is noticing the town and the people at a distance, and he had compassion. He saw them. And see, we'll never take our part of the mission of God in our life or a part in the church until we can see the people, that there is a great need for the gospel in the lives of people that we know. See, we'll never fulfill this mission of God in our lives and in the life of our church until we see it. We've got to understand the spiritual need. And listen, in these weeks that we've talked about what we believe, we talked about the scripture and how the scripture is our source of truth, and we talked about our God and how our God is completely holy and righteous. And then we talked one week about salvation, how we have a problem, and that problem is sin, and it comes between us and God. And that the way that we're saved is not by doing better things or turning over a new leaf or trying harder. It's by trusting Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. There's a TV show, and I've only watched half of one episode, and I don't know that I like it, but some of you maybe enjoy this show called The Good Life. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything if you're familiar with that show, The Good Life, but the show The Good Life takes place in what is heaven, and it is a community in heaven that has been made. And the very first episode, which I was very interested in, is it is a description of how a person gets to the good place versus the bad place, because they can't use the words heaven and hell. They just say good place and bad place. Are any of y'all following this at all? Okay, following it a little bit? So there's this description of there is a count being made of all the good things that you've done. And so there's a list. And then there's also a list of all the bad things that you've done. And to get to the good place, you have to have more good things than bad things. Okay? Now this is the TV show. Again, I've watched one half episode, and I've gotten this from it. And so the idea is, if your good outweighs your bad, you get to the good place, which is a weird heaven in this show. And if you do more bad than good, then you go to the bad place, which is, and they showed a little clip of what it sounds like in hell, and it was on the show, and it was like screaming and gnashing of teeth. So that was kind of interesting. So this is a biblically influenced fictional show. But there are a lot of people, listen to this, and this is the reason that I share this with you. There are a lot of people that believe that if they do more good than bad, that they're going to eventually end up in heaven. Listen, we know based on the truth of Scripture, that is absolutely wrong. Because no amount of good that we do will ever be enough to satisfy a completely holy God. That there's got to be something else that happens in a person's life that makes them acceptable to a holy God. And the only thing that does that, based on the Word of God, is by someone placing their faith in what Jesus accomplished for them on the cross of Calvary. It's the only way. And so the mission of God for us is to intervene on behalf of others and share the good news about Jesus with others so that they don't die with that lie that they can't be good enough, because they cannot. And so we need to have eyes for the mission. We need to look around us and see the great need, that there are people all around us that don't have a relationship with Christ, that need a relationship with Christ, that need to be ministered to and loved into the kingdom of God. And listen, that is for us to do. That's the mission of God. And each one of us has a responsibility to be faithful to that mission where God has placed us individually. And then corporately, we come together, and as a church, we have a responsibility to fulfill that same mission as a group. And that's the power. Each one of us looking for opportunities to speak a good word for Christ. And we're all doing that. We're fulfilling the mission of the church. And then we come together. And it's beautiful when we come together, because we can accomplish so much more together than we can alone. And that we accomplish the mission of the church. And so my question to you, as it relates to having eyes for the mission, is, do you see the people? Listen, sometimes the people in our lives, they're just in the way for us getting done what we need to do that day. And we don't slow down, and we don't talk to people, and we don't just give God room to give us opportunities. We rush from here to there, and we're always running late, and we never have time for anyone else. But see, when you see the people and when you have compassion, that means you're going to change up your routine a little bit. That you're going to allow some space so that you can talk to someone and maybe meet a spiritual need in their life, that God would use you in a significant way to reach someone else with the gospel. Listen, this isn't for the super Christian or the Jesus freak or the missionary or the pastor only. This is something that we all can participate in. And listen, it could start really with how we treat our servers at the restaurant. You know, are they just late with our food and we're too hungry and it was too slow? Or can we slow down a little bit and we can just have a conversation with them or someone at the grocery store or wherever we do our business? We just slow down a little bit and talk to people. And we would be amazed at the opportunities God would give us to speak a good word for Christ. Do you see the need? And if you don't, I say open your eyes, because the needs are all around us all the time. I mean, there's nowhere that we go that they don't need the gospel. There's no one that we know that doesn't need the gospel. Everyone needs the good news about Jesus in their life, and we need to open our eyes. The next thing here in this passage, it talks about him having compassion. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. They weren't in the way. They weren't just the next ministry endeavor. He had compassion on. He was feeling something. In the Greek, this word means to be moved even to the innards, to the intestines. That means he was getting kind of inside. He was getting kind of tightened up. He felt something. And that is such a great example for us. In our context, we would talk today about something touching our hearts, about something gripping our hearts or our souls. Like when we see an injustice and we want to get involved, or we see something go on and we see that picture or that cause and we go, I want to be a part of that. Listen, this is what Jesus saw when he saw the people. It gripped him on the inside and he had compassion for them and he was moved to action. It wasn't just a feeling, he was actually moved to action. And so I wonder, as it relates to a heart for the mission, if you feel it, if you not only see the people and their great need, but you actually feel it to the point that you want to do something about it. Listen, it's about time for us to feel something when we look at the lostness and the depravity of our world, that we can make a difference in the lives of those around us because we see them and because we feel something, because we know that it's our mission. There's an ownership to this. Listen, when someone gives you something to do, unless you take ownership of it, you kind of half-heartedly go about it. I mean, you just kind of half-heartedly do something because it's a duty. That's not completely what we're talking about, although I would rather have someone do something out of duty and maybe not feel it than do nothing at all, right? I mean, if duty is what you have to fall back to that and do something, but it's so much better when we feel it and we own it, that it's ours. And so this is the heart of the missions. We have to have a heart for the mission. We have to see people, and what we see, we need to have compassion to where it moves us to action. And the reason that he had compassion, it says clearly in the passage, because he saw the people and they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were helpless. They didn't know where they were going. Sheep actually have to be led to green pastures, like Psalm 23 says. A sheep is just not that bright and needs a lot of guidance so that they can be healthy and be safe. And so he's seeing them and he's saying, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. And they need the gospel. They need that connection with God. And we need to have the same heart for the mission. I mean, it starts with seeing and knowing where we are and seeing the need around us. And when we see the great need, our heart just breaks for people that don't have a relationship with Christ. Listen, that's what we need in our life, isn't it? I mean, that's what God needs to do in our heart, is to give us that desire that we would feel it and that we would do something about it. Not just give it mental assent or some kind of understanding or some kind of temporal knowledge of it, but just that we would do something. Which leads us to a starting place. He says here in the passage, they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his disciples, and so he's seeing this and he's feeling something and he's having compassion, and he begins to teach and lead his disciples. As he says this to them, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In verse 38 it says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So in light of what he has seen and in light of what he has felt, he understands that the harvest is plentiful, that there are many people that would receive him. There are many people that would reconnect with God if they knew the message, if they knew the gospel. And the first thing he says in that is he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He says, pray. You see, when we go to God in prayer, we're asking, we're interceding for other people. And so Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And that's the place we start. Listen, prayer is us exercising our faith. Prayer is what you're praying about right now. And I said this many times, what you're praying about is what you're trusting God for. And so when you pray for the people that you see, the people that you feel something about, when you pray for them, you're doing something. You're trusting God for that person. You're trusting God for that opportunity that he may give you. Listen, it is us exercising our faith, and it's us saying to God, God, I want to fulfill the mission that you've given me. I want to be a part of your mission to redeem those that are lost, to save those who are lost. So the starting place is prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Which leads me to the next thing is immediate action is needed. This is something that is important. In our community, we have many farmers, and there are different phases to it. And I've always kind of been fascinated with the farming process, even though I've never participated in it very much. It's a year-round thing that goes in kind of phases, right? There's preparing the land, there's planting the crop, there is fertilizing and watering however you can the crop and protecting it as it grows. But as it grows and it reaches that maturity, there's a moment when it's time to harvest. And listen, this is a big deal if you think about it for a farmer, because it's the harvest, this is what all the work has been done for. This is what all of preparing and all of planting and all of protecting it, all of that work has gone into this moment when it's time to bring in the harvest. And our farmers in our congregation, they get ramped up. I mean, they're on duty 24/7. They're figuring out when is exactly the right time to harvest. And when it's time, it's that opportunity, all hands on deck, all the workers you can find, all the equipment that you can find that's working, and it's time to bring in the harvest. And there's an urgency to that, because if it's too soon, the crop will ruin and it won't be as good as if you waited till it was the right time. And if it stays out too long, it could be ruined and damaged and you could lose the crop. And so there's this window of opportunity where there is immediate action needed, where there is some urgency to get out there and get the crop in, and also to protect that crop until you can get it stored or sold. And this is what it's all about for the farmer, is to get that crop in and to protect it and to get it sold, which will set up the next crop. The same is true as it relates to the spiritual harvest that is out there, because Jesus in this passage, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field, that there's an urgency that we have to exercise our faith through prayer and get people from the couch to the field so that they can make a difference. And this is the immediate action. There's no time to wait. There's no season when this immediate action is not needed, because we look around us and this all goes together with us seeing the need, us feeling something about it to where it leads us to action, and then it's getting involved. It's bringing in the harvest. And listen, if we would be willing to, people would trust Christ based on the message that we have, because God is drawing them to himself. Jesus has paid it all for them and laid down his life so that they could have a relationship with him, and we could be the person that introduces someone to Christ. Listen, immediate action is necessary. That's true for you individually, and that's true for our church. There's no preparation that's needed anymore. There's no getting ready to do something. It's time to act. Immediate action. Listen, I don't know if you're like me. I think some of you are. That you kind of get to a place where talk is cheap and we don't want to just talk a thing to death. Let's do something, right? Have y'all ever got to that point? Some of you ladies, your husbands are talking about that project that they might get around to around the house, and they've been talking about it a long time, and you would rather them just go to Home Depot and get the stuff and get started, right? I mean, that's what you'd rather have. Sometimes talk is cheap, but talk doesn't lead to anything until you do the right thing. And it's time that we quit preaching and talking about sharing the gospel and get more involved in actually doing it. And that leads us to number 7, is what's the proof we believe in the mission? What's the proof of that? What evidence could we give that we indeed believe in the mission of God? Because remember, we've been talking on these weeks about the different things that starts with understanding in our minds what we believe. And it also translates into our hearts, what we own, what we know in our soul is right. And when our minds and hearts are believing and understanding the right thing, then that translates into the things that we do. Listen, it's not just knowing facts about Jesus. It's not just agreeing that we need to share the gospel with others or share our testimony or pray for our one or the different things that we can do. What evidence would there be in our personal lives, and what evidence would there be in the life of our church that this is a reality, that we truly believe that we have a part of God's mission, that we are here for a reason, and God's given us something to do, and part of that is to make disciples by sharing the gospel. What evidence of that? Now listen, as a church, we have our pray and go that we have once a month where we go out in our community and we pray for our community because we want to be out in the community and we want to be doing something. But listen, it's hard lately for us to have people come out on those Sundays. It's hard for us to get people to come out another time. And I wonder if it's just a small group of us that really feel something about our community, or maybe I've done a poor job motivating our group so that we would say, listen, we want to be out in our community and we want to be out there praying for it. I wonder what evidence, as it relates to even us doing pray and go, there would be for us to say we care about somebody outside of this church. And with our who's your one, I wonder what proof of that, if there are prayers that have genuinely been prayed for our ones. Has there been a desire to look for those opportunities to speak a good word for Christ in that person's life? I mean, only you would know that. We can encourage you and we can bring the cards to the front like we did a number of months ago, and we can do all of those things, but until you see it and until you feel it, nothing's going to happen. And so listen, I'm not trying in this idea of where's the proof that we really truly believe this. I'm just communicating to you that there's going to be some proof and there's going to be some action that goes along with the things that we see and the things that we feel, that it's going to lead to an action. And listen, we need to reclaim, like I mentioned in number one, we need to reclaim that mission of the church, because there is some excitement to be had as we fulfill what God has given us to do. That's an exciting place. Listen, to be used by God to change a life, to be used by God to speak a good word for Christ into the life of someone else. Listen, I don't want you to miss that. That is not only a huge blessing to the person that you're talking to, it's a huge blessing to you in your life as well. There is a famous essay by this gentleman named Loren Isley, and he was a scientist and he was a poet and a writer. So a scientist and a poet together, he was a very unique person. And he was going through a difficult and pessimistic time in his life. He was kind of struggling along, and he was evaluating his life and wanted to know if he was going the right direction or not. And so he thought he would go to the beach, and he went to the beach alone. And he went there for the and he just wanted some time alone to kind of come to terms with what he was feeling in his life. And he was in a difficult, pessimistic spot, like I mentioned. And so one of the things that he did was he started walking along the seashore, and he was walking along, and he would notice all of these living creatures that had been washed up onto the beach. And there were people that were gathering those things and whatever, and that kind of depressed him a little bit because he was into science, so he didn't really like the idea of these little helpless creatures being up on the beach and people just collecting them. But then he noticed someone in the distance at like a tidal pool, and it was a gentleman. So he walked down there, and he noticed this guy was bending down and picking up these starfish that were in this tidal basin kind of thing, and he was throwing them out back into the ocean, back into the waves. And we can relate to this, right? We have beautiful beaches that we all attend, that we all go to, and walking along the beach. And so he wants to know what this guy is doing. And so he has this conversation with this gentleman about what exactly are you doing? And he goes, well, these starfish, and the gentleman that was throwing the fish out there, he said they throw good. And the tide is going out, and unless they go back out into the surf, they're going to die. It's going to be too dry, and they're going to die. And so Lauren Isley, who this story is about, kind of thinks in a cynical kind of way, well, what kind of difference is this guy making throwing one starfish at a time when there's thousands of miles of seashore and thousands of starfish that would need to be saved? And so he's kind of cynical about that. And so he leaves, and then the next morning he goes back and the same guy is there. And that's kind of worked on him, that this guy was doing something. And so he goes back there and he begins to pick up the starfish and throw them out. And he was throwing the starfish out as well and kind of joined in what he's doing. And he wrote this essay about, and he made it kind of fictional. He talked about this old man that was walking along the beach and met a boy that was throwing starfish out into the water. And asking the boy what he was doing, he was saying, if I don't throw them back into the water, they're going to die, and so I'm going to do this. And the old man, and this is the story that Lauren Isley wrote, the old man says, well, what difference can you possibly make with so many miles of beach and so many starfish? And then the little boy picked up a starfish and threw it into the ocean and said, well, I made a difference in the life of that one. That one made a difference. And so the idea is that each one of us have the responsibility to do what we can. We may not be able to do everything for everyone, but we can do what we can. And listen, no matter what part of our life, whether we're going through a difficult time or we're kind of struggling through, we can know that we can make a difference in the life of that one person that God's put us in contact with, that we can be faithful to do something for that person, and we can make a difference. And how much more important is what we do when we deal with other people as it relates to their spiritual life, even the destiny of their souls, than it is for a starfish to find its way back into the surf. And so that is our call, is to do what we can with the time that we have, seeing the people. They're not in the way. They're not just to be rushed around. They're the reason we're still here. And listen, to feel something, to see the lostness, for that to make a difference in our life, and for it to make such a difference in our life that we do something, that we actually speak a good word for Christ, not just live it in front of them, but speak a good word for Christ. Listen, it's our responsibility to do that. And then to share the good news about Jesus, maybe even starting with just your testimony of how you came to Christ, what it was like before you received Christ, the details of how you received Christ, and now the difference that Christ is making in your life. You know what's so powerful about that is sharing your testimony is you already know it. There's no memorizing anything. There's no doing anything else. You already know your story. And when you tell people, listen, there was a time in my life where this was going on, and then I started attending this church, or then my coworker started talking to me about Jesus, and I received Jesus. And then after that, Jesus, is giving me purpose. He is helping me through the days of my life, and I don't know what I'd do without Jesus. Whatever your testimony is that you can share, what a powerful tool that is in the hands of an almighty God in the life of someone else. But it starts with us seeing, it continues with us feeling, and then we begin to do, we begin to pray, and we begin to get involved in the harvest. Listen, that's where the excitement in the Christian life is. It's on mission with God. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to have a moment of invitation, and this is a time that you can make a commitment to Christ. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you don't have a relationship with Christ. This morning could be your morning. And maybe you've been attending here, and you want to be a part of a church that's seeking to be on mission for God. I'll be down here at the front to receive you. Maybe you need to be baptized or other spiritual decisions you have to make. I'm going to be down here right at the front. But listen, during this time, let's pray for our ones. If you don't know who your one is, pray through who that might be. Pray for your one. Pray for the mission that God's given us individually and also as a church, as we seek to be faithful to that one that God's put in front of us. Would you please stand? We're going to have a word of prayer, and our musicians are going to play and sing, and we are going to, this is going to be God's invitation time for you that we can press in to what God has for us. So Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in your house. And Father, would you work in our lives as we commit this time to you. Father, we thank you that you include us in part of your mission. What an honor it is. What a duty it is for us to do that. And Father, I thank you. And Father, I pray for each one that they would be about your mission, that they would see and feel and act. So Father, we thank you, and we pray that you would be glorified in this time. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.